You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Tennessee's Whiskey, the number one bestseller by L. Loren. Single father Weston Daniels has built a nice life for himself and his five-year-old son. After escaping the nefarious family business, all he wants is the peace and quiet of the South and the occasional, no strings attached, roll in the hay. But destiny steps in when he meets an ebony beauty who bombards his bar. Grad student Patricia Woods is on the brink of homelessness and needs some quick cash to pay her overdue rent. A redneck bar named Whiskey's would do just the trick with its notorious bikers and flowing tips. However, when Weston's past catches up with him, he is faced with choosing between her life and the happiness he desires. Tennessee's Whiskey by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Hello and good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining me on the Mahogany Says Show. I am your host, Mahogany Silvering, and I have two wonderful guests tonight. And I think... is that Pamela Haynes and also author L. Loren, who is part of our Once Upon a Villain series that we've been working on, and it's finally here. I've been talking about it. Everyone's been talking about it. We've been advertising it for the last few months, and I'm excited because I'm book number three and Loren is book number four. But before we get into that, I want to introduce Ms. Pamela Haynes, the author of Loving the Brothers. Pamela, you here?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on the show. And I was looking at your book. I haven't gotten a chance to fully read all of it, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started into publishing?
Okay, well, good evening to your listeners. It's 1 o'clock in the morning here, so I'm already in my dressing gown, but I'm delighted to be here with you. As I said, my name is Pamela Haynes. I'm calling you from the UK. I live in East London. I got into publishing because I was approaching a milestone birthday and I wanted to mark it in some way by either writing a book or doing my master's. Wow. Both are very expensive to do here in the UK.
Yes.
So as fate would have it, I went to an event, an awards evening as somebody's plus one, and happened to be on a table with a woman who'd written her own book, and her book was called Geraldine's Pearl. And I said to her, you know, one day I'd really like to write a book. And she said, well, I'm just about to move into publishing myself. You know, I will take you on as a client. So she held me to account, and the book was published with Marcia M. Publishing House 8 weeks before my milestone birthday. So that's in a nutshell how, you know, I became a published author. I mean, I've always written. So in my work as a senior probation officer, I've always provided the courts with stories, you know, the offender's story or the defendant's story about how they've come to this position where they're before the courts. But this is my first piece of fiction. And it's based loosely on the stories that I heard when I was working as a practitioner in the probation service.
Ah, okay. So that's where Patty comes in, who's the probation officer.
Yes, I mean, nobody writes about the probation service. There are loads of books out there about other law enforcement agencies, but not the probation service. So I thought it was time to put us in the spotlight and to share with the readers the kind of work that we do. And we can be superheroes too. So, you know,
yes,
she's my main
like
protagonist, Patty Scotland.
Nice. So the three ladies who have married these three brothers. Now tell us a little bit about them.
About the brothers or about the ladies as well? Well, we've got Patty. Yep. So Patty is 45 years old, the epitome of a black professional working in the criminal justice system. She has a daughter in her late teens who's off to university soon. She has not been successful in launching herself into higher management, and she has not been successful in love either. So that's the, you know, when we find her, when we meet Patty, we meet her on the train where she bumps into a charming young man who gives up his seat so that she can sit down. And I suppose Patty has been praying for the right man to come along into her life, but didn't expect that he would show up in the way that this particular man shows up, who is Marcus Morgan. And then we have Rose. Rose is 35 years old, has spent the last 10 years having children. So we meet her at the point where she's just given birth to her fifth child, baby Esther. And we, you know, her husband isn't satisfied with that. He wants to have a boy. He is a newly ordained pastor, quite full of himself, quite confident. And that's where we, you know, we meet this particular family, and all is not quite what it seems. So when she's at church, it's quite polished. They're quite corporate. They're quite, you know, together. They dress alike, you know, in similar colors. But life is very different when they are indoors. I suppose I wanted to demonstrate that domestic abuse can happen to any woman at any point. And it happens in the church. Yeah, and it happens in the church as well. So, and then my final character is Charmaine Morgan, married to Junior Morgan, a young woman who has twins, and we see her struggles in feeling as though she's doing everything by herself. Her family has come to the attention of social services for the wrong reasons, where her twins are acting out scenes of domestic abuse that they have seen indoors. And you know, she's coming to a point now where she has to make some serious decisions about what she does from here on in. So the book is set in the scene. The women have an occasion where they have to travel to Jamaica for a funeral, and things pan out from then. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Just spoil it. Just a little bit of insight to say what we'll say about the book. But yes,
okay.
So definitely you've set the stage of loving the brothers and these women who are the women in their lives and the things that they have to deal with and go through. But you're right, a totally different platform with usually you don't have anything about the probation officer. You usually have police officers or nurses, doctors, but this is totally different. And I like the premise for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Tell us how your journey has affected you as far as publishing. Did you find it difficult or...
Yes. I mean, originally, you know, I approached a traditional publishing house, you know, because we all want the, you know, the big names of the five and six figure book deals. And at that time, just less than 3 years ago, I was told to change three things about the book, which were my non-negotiables. So I was told to change the title. I was told to make one of the protagonists not black, so make her white. And I was also told to change the cover of my book. And it's interesting, flash forward to where we are now, the three main things that people were telling me to change are the three main things that they want black authors to come with. You know, they want us to, you know, so when you hear about black books, you know, black books matter, hashtag black books matter and all of that, they are now opening their doors. But I know for a fact that they were previously closed to me not that long ago. So I went down to an independent publishing route because I wanted to maintain control over the name, over the cover, and over who my main protagonists were going to be. And my main protagonists are all Black women, born in the UK. I mean, although Rose was born in Jamaica, she grew up in London, and I wanted it to have that as its central theme. So going with an independent publisher gave me more control over how I wanted to tell my story and the way I wanted to tell it.
And that's good, because you stay true to your story instead of going on someone else's advice. They probably would not have come out the same. And
it would no longer be my story. So, and the whole point of having it as a goal and, something on my bucket list that I wanted to cross off was that I got to tell my story in my own way. So I was quite clear. I didn't want this to be a crossover book, and it's not a Black book. Loving the Brothers is being read by everybody of all ethnicities across the world. So I'm glad I stayed true to myself.
Yes. Most definitely. So which came first? Was it the plot or the characters?
Oh, my. I've had the Loving the Brothers as a working title for about 20 years.
Wow.
But I do believe nothing happens before its time. I think definitely the story, the plot came first, because in my work as a probation officer, I used to run a domestic violence program. So I got to work directly with perpetrators and survivors of domestic abuse. And I felt privileged to hear their stories, and then wanted to write my own. But it loosely based on the cycle of abuse, so the different types of abuse. I wanted to make sure I incorporated those and tell my own story. So the plot came first. I wanted to demonstrate that domestic abuse can happen to any woman at any time. Hence, I've chose three different women with, three different situations. Domestic abuse. Domestic victims of domestic abuse can be educated. They can be people in good careers. They can be women in the church. They can be young women. It happens across a broad spectrum. And I wanted to also relay that domestic abuse is survivable. You can get help and support and, completely turn your life around, and you can find love and healthy marriages again. So I didn't want women to feel as though they're trapped in a situation. I think those days of putting up and shutting up have long gone, and we need to, as they say, shame the devil and, and get help for our situation. A lot of times pride keeps women and embarrassment keeps women in situations that they really should be shouting and screaming about.
True. And then fear, because sometimes the abuser is their only source of income. And
absolutely.
What are they going to do with their children, and how are they going to take care of themselves? Because it's a major concern for several women, especially
language.
Language can
be
a barrier.
English is not your first language. Yeah, education,
exactly.
Lack of education, lack of finances. There are lots of reasons why women stay, but, at least I'm hoping I'm starting the discussion with women who actually want to exit their relationships and live differently. So opening up the possibilities, because when I speak to women, they start off talking about the characters in my book, and then they end up telling me their own stories. And
yes,
I have
they can
been
relate.
Able. Yes, yes.
Wow.
And I've been able to signpost women to other, to get help as well, and to get support and, to get treatment long after the relationship has ended. Some women are still experiencing the trauma of having been in that relationship in the first place.
Yes, that's true. And sometimes that can take even longer to actually extricate themselves. It may be physically gone, but they are still, in a sense, do have PTSD, because something
can
trigger them.
That's right. And if you're not careful, And if you're not careful, you can bring that shame and embarrassment and helplessness into other relationships. So, yes, I've encouraged people to let's have a conversation about it at least.
Well, I like this. This is, a fictional book, but it touches on a very real subject. And I think women who will read this will be inspired to, if they are in that situation, to step out Because it doesn't matter if the story is not, a true story. It still gives them a way to like, oh, okay, we can talk about this. I can say, you know, and there are people who can survive this. So,
yeah.
Great job.
And men, thank you. And men are reading the book as well, which is really good news as well. So we have, you know, those locker room discussions where men are challenging other men about their behaviors, and which I think is absolutely fantastic. And you know, and some men are coming forward who want help as well. They don't want to be that man, you know. They want to be in supportive, healthy, growing relationships. You know, my parents were, you know, they were married for 54 years. So, and there are lots of couples who aspire to have those kind of relationships. So, I'm glad that it's out there. Book two is on its way, which will be the sequel to Love and the Brothers. And I hope that the Love and the Brothers conversation continues.
Nice. So was there any part of it that you felt that you had to deal with, you know, emotional impact or while you were writing? Did anything hit you in particular about how you were writing it?
Not this book. Not this book, but the second book that I'm writing now, there was a very difficult, there were a few difficult scenes that I had to write where I was in tears by the end of it. And obviously I can't give out any spoiler alerts, but it was, you know, quite traumatic to write. I felt as though that I was going through the woman's experience as well. You know, heart racing, you know, not really quite sure where this story is going to go and how it's going to end. And that I found that quite upsetting. I had to do a few, you know, bits and pieces to come down from that experience and acknowledge that it's not my experience, but the experience of my characters. And hopefully I'm helping women by sharing it and by naming it.
Yes, I think definitely it might be difficult for some women to read, but, you know, if it touches on what they're going through, I say it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Because that can be really helpful, you know, painful, but sometimes the most painful things that we need to face. And that would be a way, you know, for them to get it out. So of the characters in this book, which one would you say you identified more with or had a favorite character?
Right. Okay. I get asked this question a lot. And I think they're all me. They are all me in a sense of, if you look at Patty, Patty is a senior probation officer. I was a senior probation officer. Patty was blocked for promotion. I believe that I faced a lot of challenges trying to move into the next layer of my career. So there are lots of similarities there. She studied at university with her daughter. I studied at university with my two sons, were babies when I started. So there are lots of similarities there. My character, Charmaine had twins and felt like she was doing it all on her own and unsupported by her husband. And at the time when I had my small babies, I also felt unsupported by my my ex-husband too. So there are similarities there. I know what it's like being a young woman and trying to raise children as well in the UK and what challenges can come up. So I certainly was able to include those kind of themes in the book. And when it came to Rose, I grew up in the church. I was a Sunday school teacher at one stage. I sang in the Angelical Voice Choir in the UK, and I know what it's like to feel like chief cook and bottle washer. The expectations of the church for you to be able to do everything and do everything to a high standard, and therefore my character in Rose, I resonate with her as well in terms of being the pastor's wife as well, adds another layer of responsibility on top of all the other things she's expected
to do. Wow.
That's right. So you see her in the book. She is choir mistress, prayer leader, visiting the sick. You know, her pot's always blazing, you know, to help out people in need, but getting very little back in return, and has somehow seemed to lose herself and lose sight of what she wants from life as well. She gave up a good career to follow her husband into the ministry. So there's that kind of resentment that's boiling under the surface as well. So yes, in a lot of ways, these characters are me, and yet they're not me. So I love them all equally.
That's good. So I've actually kind of wondered this question. It's not to the book, but it speaks to being a Black woman in the UK, because I've never been. And how is it, like you said, you had some resistance in trying to climb up the ladder. Is it any easier there than it is here in the United States? Or do you face the same prejudices that we experience here?
I think it's identical. You know, whatever happens in the States, eventually it will happen over here in the UK. So whatever your experience is, I will say that we are at least maybe 12 months behind you in terms of what our experiences of racism and prejudice and so on. You know, it's all coming out of the woodwork now since the hashtag Black Lives Matter. We have seen some shocking behavior in the UK as well, you know, where we thought that people were our friends and our colleagues and supporters. Actually, it turns out that they weren't. And, you know, for some people, they have found that quite shocking and quite disappointing, really.
So,
we're facing the same thing as you, but just maybe, you know, people are more covert with how they, So I've had to delete a couple of friends off of Facebook and social media who I thought were allies, and, you know, shamelessly have put on their pages All Lives Matter and has missed totally the point that we were trying to make. And we're not allies after all. So it's been a wake up call.
Wow. And see, I thought things were a little different, or, you know, so much better, because I hadn't heard as many stories, or, you know, where you've had any trouble. But I know there was like quite a large Jamaican population in the UK as well, so I thought maybe it was a little different.
No, I mean, we only make up 5%, maybe less than that, of the population in the UK. We're a small group, but we have had our own George Floyds. We've had, you know, young men who have been shot by the police for little or no reason, or the story doesn't really quite add up. And we've had, not that long ago, rioting here in the UK, national riots over and disturbances over the same kind of issues as well. And that's not nothing new. That's happened through the ages. It's just that when it happens in America, it's more highlighted than maybe when it happens in other countries. But we have had similar incidences over here as well.
Ah, okay. Well, that's good to know. I was always wondering about that. So thank you for answering that question.
No problem at all.
Part of the books. But, so tell us about you. When you're not writing and you're not a probation officer, what else do you like to do?
Well, I retired from the probation service in 2018. When I'm not writing, I can't really imagine my life where I'm not writing. I try to write every day. So I've written my second book, which is called Loving the Sisters, and I've also written a few short stories as well. When I'm not writing, especially during lockdown, I bake celebration cakes. I did my sister's wedding cake back in March, so that was a massive four-tier wedding cake.
Wow!
I'm self-taught. I've done
a
couple of little cakes. I've done a couple of cake decoration courses. During lockdown, I taught myself how to bake bread and to make other pastries, especially Barbadian cakes, because that's where my family are from. So, my mother gave me lessons before she went back to Barbados. So, that's what I like to spend my time doing, really. Homemaking, you know, making sure that everybody's comfortable, entertaining. I have a Goodreads challenge of about 100 books to read this year. I think I'm on book 44. So I spend a lot of time reading. And trying to find Black British authors who are out there and to try and support their work as well, because that's quite important to me. So, I grew up on a diet of American authors. I think Terry McMillan is one of my favorite. I think I've read everything that she has written, even articles in journals I've read as well. So, I've met her once when she came to the UK.
Wow.
So that was nice. It was a pleasure to meet her and to get her to sign my books as well. Reading, homemaking, cake decorations, film clubs, book clubs, anything like that, you'll find me there.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. But that's a lot of work with the cake, though, because I can't even make a regular cake. I tried from scratch. It actually fell in. But of course, I was in New Mexico, and no one told me about the whole mountain thing, and you're I didn't know.
Well, it could be that you took it out the oven a bit too quickly, but I mean, I wasn't born an expert, so
yeah.
I had a few loaves of bread that could keep the front doors open because they were so heavy. But we're talking about maybe 4 or 5 years ago that I've been baking, and I to me it was a good way to get rid of stress. I like the idea that, I was putting ingredients together and I was creating something, and over the years I've been able to perfect it. So, anything that means that I can just unwind from a stressful day, and working for the probation service can be very stressful.
Yes,
you're always
balancing,
you know, the needs of the service users, the need to keep the community safe, to manage a team, answering to higher management. And I got to a point when I just needed to do something that was far removed from working with service users. And I found baking, the love of baking.
Nice. So that's great. And that's a real talent too. That's definitely, and you said you're self-taught, so that's amazing.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy it.
So we know this is not your last book, so you're going to come out with the second one. I believe you said it was Loving the Sisters.
That's right.
The name
that's
of your second
right.
one? Okay. And so that should be out in a few months, or you say next year?
Well, it's at the stage where I sent it to an editor. So I'm waiting for the editor to come back to me with the manuscript. And after that, this time I'm going to a traditional publisher, because I'm now able to demonstrate that I have a community of readers across the world. I estimate that I have between 3,000 and 4,000 readers who are waiting for Loving the Sisters. So I'm hoping that will put me in a better position to secure the kinds of book deal that I know that it's worthy of. And so that's where I am at the moment. As soon as that comes back, I will start the next step of the process.
Okay. So do you have a website or anything where my listeners and your readers can contact you or find out more information?
Yes, I'm everywhere. I'm on Instagram at Loving the Brothers Author. I have an author page on Facebook, which is called Loving the Brothers by Pamela R. Haynes. And Haynes is Haynes. I'm also on Twitter at PamPamHaynes. And I have to say that maybe 90% of the opportunities that I have had since writing the book, so radio interviews, podcast interviews, being on television, I was even a judge on the Miss Barbados UK pageant, have all come via social media. So I found that that's actually the best way for people to get hold of me and be the first to know, you know, what's been happening on my book journey since 2018.
Nice. So it's on Amazon, and it's in, is it paperback and Kindle, or is it just?
That's right. Yes, it's on Amazon.com, and it's also available online with Barnes & Noble, which is, I'm finding out, which is a big feat, because they very rarely take on independent publishers. So I'm really, really pleased about that. And so that's me really. I've got a YouTube channel which I've started to upload some of my interviews on as well. So if you look out for Pamela R. Haynes TV, you know, you should be able to find me, like and subscribe, and you'll be able to hear more about my interviews and the kind of activities that I've been up to since writing the book.
Yes. Thank you. Well, thank you for coming on the show. It's been great having you. And I know it's like probably late, 1:30 now. But
that's right. Yes.
Yes. So I'm going to let you go ahead so you can get some rest. But I appreciate
that.
And I think I appreciate you coming on the show and talking with us, even though it's at this late hour for you. So
no problem.
I appreciate
at all.
You
thank
doing
you
it.
So much for having me.
You're welcome. And you're welcome back anytime. And I will definitely subscribe to your YouTube channel because I'm on there as well. And I'll have
this interview
will be on there as well. I upload it within the next 2 days after everything's recorded and edited. So you can find it on there as well.
That's great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And thanks for coming. And
bye-bye.
We'll be right back after this short commercial break. Fresh Meat, an interracial erotic romance by bestselling author Elle Loren. Spending bike week in Daytona Beach was supposed to be research for an upcoming movie role. Smoke had no idea all the perks of being an undercover biker would offer. He couldn't afford any mistakes, so he took a vow of celibacy. However, fate had other plans. As soon as he arrived, a beautiful little Spitfire sparked his engine, and he threw those vows right out the window. Baby Bird captured his heart in one day. Now his mission is to make her his and claim his own happy ending. Fresh Meat, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles by best-selling author Elle Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight, and we are back. I was talking with Pamela Haynes, who is the author of Loving the Brothers, and we are going to introduce our second guest of the evening, which is best-selling author Elle Loren. She's the author of Blind Spot from the Once Upon a Villain series that we are all working on, and I'm excited to have her here. So thank you and welcome, Lauren.
Thank you very much.
I know you're sitting quietly listening, and I appreciate your patience. And I'm sorry that I didn't get a chance to, you know, due to the technical difficulties yesterday, because I was supposed to have a show yesterday and today. So, but I'm glad that we got everybody on here. So,
we can't help it. So, hey, just got to go with the flow.
We got to go with the flow. Exactly. So tell us a little bit about Blind Spot.
Oh, my goodness. Blind Spot is not a sequel, but it's kind of sort of intertwined with Untangled in a small way. Like I don't know if your listeners know about Untangled, which was in season one of the Once Upon a Villain series. Gugu was the main character there, and she, in all of the stories in Once Upon a Villain, the Eternal Witch makes a deal with the villain to make them good, pretty much. Gives them a second chance at life and a happily ever after.
Yes.
So Gugu took the chance, and then I wrote a sequel to Gugu for a holiday story called Sinful.
Yes, I remember that. Sinful, yes.
Yeah. And Sinful was where I introduced Saren, but Saren wasn't herself in the story. She was cloaking herself as a man, trying to destroy Gugu's relationship with her husband.
Mm-hmm. She's doing a pretty good job of it, too.
And we find out Saren is a Cyclops, and I love writing that story because the Cyclops is not really a story that people tell often. And when I was doing my research, I couldn't find any like recent works about it. So I had fun making up an entire world for her, making up the sexy parts, and I give her a little extra something that women would appreciate when they read the story.
Okay.
She gets a little extra something that helps give her more pleasure, put it that way. And
okay. That always works.
So Saren is a Cyclops, adamant about saving the villains. She wants nothing to do with this second chance that that the Eternal Witch is offering everyone. She thinks that villains have a right to live, and villains should be lauded, and they're a necessary part of the universe. And she thinks the Eternal Witch is crazy, and, you know, she has no right to try to reverse who they are naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes on a quest to cancel all of the spells and everything that the witch has done.
Okay.
So her whole premise is save the villains. That's her mantra. Save
so
the villains.
Champion of
the
villains.
Turn everything back. So on the surface, it looks like, oh, she's just messing with the villains. But what I tried to do was make her the social justice or injustice that's happening in the world today. I tried to parallel villains with black people and everything that black people are facing, not everything, but a lot of things that black people are facing in society in America. She's facing as a part of being a villain. So she's been locked up in a dungeon and been tortured, and people discriminate against her and don't want her around. I even took it back to the 60s where blacks weren't allowed to eat in restaurants at the same time as white people. I gave her some of that. She was part of the social injustice. So she kind of parallels what black people are going through. So I don't put race in it for purposefully. It's just all about the villains.
Yes, and what she goes through. And in most stories that I've seen, or fantasy, where they will have a Cyclops, the Cyclops is always pictured as this one-eyed giant who's, you know, destroying everything. And who's,
right,
you know, seen as a villain, a monster, and not someone to be, you know, to befriend, or, you know, they could have be gentle. But you would never know because they're always portrayed that way.
Right. So, but in reality, her love interest, who is named River, I love him. He and Saren were supposed to be mates. So I gave them, you know, I'm paranormal. Sometimes the wolves have fated mates.
Right.
And they can't mate with anyone else, just their mate. So that's what Saren and River go through. I gave the Cyclops an identity. The males cannot get an erection unless it's for their mate.
Wow.
That was purposeful. So he spent thousands of years pining away for her because she was taken from him when they were young and about to get their awakening ceremony, which is like a human marriage.
Right.
And so he spent thousands of years, and when she finally arrives, he thought she was dead. But when his body starts feeling things, he's like, oh, what's going on? And then
she
feels
still there.
Her presence.
Wow.
So those two get together, and he's kind of like an impish guy. He loves to have fun. He plays around a lot. And he was saved from the destruction of the Cyclops because these are the only two left in the world in my story.
Oh.
So
okay.
He was saved, and the way he was saved was they gave him an invisibility cloak. So he has the power to become invisible at any time.
Invisible. Hmm.
And he uses that to his advantage, and he loves to pop up on her out of the blue. Just he'll be in her apartment, and she'll be walking, and then she'll walk into him. She can't see him. Stuff like that.
Literally, she can't see
her. She jumps out of her skin because she's like, "What in the world?"
Yeah, I see that. I just watched The Invisible Man last night. Have you seen that movie? That reminded me of.
But he's the Invisible Man is evil. He wants revenge or something.
The
liver in this story is he's the voice of reason in the story. So he is trying to convince Saren that she doesn't need her revenge against the witch. She needs to just concentrate on her life and loving him and being happy.
Yeah.
But she's like,
happy.
No, villains deserve to live too.
She got her social cause, so she's on that one.
Right. So the whole premise of blind spot, and a blind spot is where you're focused on something so hard that you can't
see.
What's really happening. So she's so focused on restoring villains and this, that, and the other that she doesn't actually see the fact that she is not a villain.
Oh, now that's a twist.
Help her, yeah. So in the story, the original Cyclops, they weren't villains until they were made that, because the humans came.
Of course,
the Cyclops was out working in the field with his sheep. The humans came, broke into his home, stole his food and ate it, and then they got caught. So what would you do if you caught a thief in your house?
Mm-hmm. True.
So, but when they blind the man, they blind the Cyclops and leave, steal all the stuff when they leave.
Hmm.
Who's the villain? It wasn't the Cyclops.
It wasn't
the Cyclops.
Nope.
It was not the Cyclops, in my opinion. So that that is what River helps her to discover. They weren't born to be villains. They were labeled that, just like black people are not villains because we're born in our skin. So that parallel is there in the story.
Nice. Oh, that's good. I like that.
Just try to bring it full circle there, but it's not preachy. It's fun. I make it fun and sexy.
Well, most of your stories, all of your stories are sexy, so I know there's going to be that element to it, because I did get it, so I started it, so I'm like, okay, I know this one's going to be sexy, and how she got the whole Cyclops thing, I was like, okay, so I know this has got to be good, because I was waiting on it, because I pre-ordered, so
well,
I knew.
Certainly hope it lives up to the standards, because I'm so nervous about this story.
I know, I was nervous writing a fairy tale for the first time, too, so I'm like, okay, especially one that was kind of known, so that I like that, yours is not kind of known, it's different, and it definitely stands out, and I definitely like the cover, with the purple in the background,
yeah. Carol
and she's got the eye patch.
Shout out to Carol Lee.
Yes. She was busy this time, wasn't she?
Yes. She did an excellent job. She always does. She did whiskey, by the way, Tennessee's whiskey.
Yes. And see, she did a great job with that, too. And I actually, when I was on the plane going to Denver, I was talking about your book to the lady that was sitting next to me. So she asked me what I did, and I don't know how we got on to talking about Tennessee. Oh, it's because she said she loved to drink Tennessee whiskey. I said, oh, speaking of, and then I thought about your book. So I started, so she got your book. She started reading. I was like, oh, yes. So, see, I always just, stuff that comes to me, remember, I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, so you like this? Well, you'll like this book then. And I told her all about the story before she even looked at the cover or anything. And she's like, oh, I want to read that. I said, well, here you go. It's right here. My tablet with me. Ready to go. Like, here you go. You can order it and see. And she's like, oh, thank you. So she started reading while we were on the plane. So.
All right.
Because that was a two-hour flight. So we got to talking. And So that was a lot of fun.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes. So you never know how you can work your books into a conversation. You just never know.
Yeah. Well, you are always looking out, so I appreciate it.
Well, definitely, yeah, because your books are really good, and they should be shared with everybody. I mean, it's, you always have some really good, you know, not only wonderful sex scenes and imagination, but you also have a moral story to tell, and there's always something to learn, which is, you know, because one lady that talked to me, she's like, you just write, you know, porn. I was like, you can't write porn. It's like, it's not porn. When she actually read the book, she's like, oh, wait. There's an actual story. I was like, yes.
Yeah, there's a story.
And you learn something.
No, we don't write porn. No.
And now she reads the books. So just, but she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I thought this was. I was like, well, that's what happens when you don't read the book. So here you go. Read the book. Now you know it is not, maybe word porn, but not porn.
If it was porn, I wouldn't be stressed over it. I was just like, go get off. I can do that. That's
easy. I think porn would be so much better if we did, right?
Right.
Make a lot more money. You have a broader audience. Because they would actually make sense and teach you a lesson. I say, all right, wise, go ahead. Pick this up. Watch this. Or a new trick or two for their husband. I mean, why not? You got stripper poles, you know, stripper workouts, the pole workout. So I say, why not? But I'm excited. So I'm glad. That, and I think this is going to be another good addition because, like you said, I loved the first one, Untangled. And I love Goo Goo and Sin. So it was, you know, I like how you weave that in there. And I wanted to do a shout out, but I had to think, now how would my villain have any way of getting in contact with him? But I'm trying to, because I wanted to add it, you know, a little bit in there, but I was like, how would they know? That's a total different that's a total different area. Like, well,
maybe they were traveling. Like,
that's true. If they traveled to the Sudan, maybe they could have done it that way, I guess. But you know. Different time setting, I guess. But it's almost kind of modern. On some things, it's kind of modern. But so it really doesn't have like a time period because it is
okay,
a fairy tale.
Cool.
So I didn't really know what kind of, you know, there are some modern things in it, even though it is a fairy tale. But it's not set in any one time period. So it's got elements
from
different times.
Well, I have it on my
times.
Kindle. I have to start reading it. Because Aladdin, I've always loved the story of Aladdin. So
yeah, me too.
Can't wait
my
to see what you did with
the bar. She used to play that movie over and over because she loved Jasmine. So I just sit there and watched all of them. And I remember. So I sat back and I watched all three of them again. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because Jafar really had no backstory. So why not?
Okay. All right, Miss Mahogany, while we are on here,
mm-hmm.
I am on the internet, and I just reached number one new release for the month.
Yay!
All right.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. That is awesome.
I'm doing a happy dance. I wasn't sure
yes.
if you would make it.
You should do your happy dance, most definitely. Wow, you just like went run right after the other. What is this, like the fourth one now?
I am so excited. Readers are coming through for me. I love it.
Yes, and they should. This is awesome. Because like I said, you always have these really awesome books and just the way you tell the stories too. And you do not disappoint. Everything from Lunchtime Chronicles to Tame and LaRue. That, yes, mm-hmm, most definitely. How many books do you have now?
Oh, my God. I have done 10 things this year alone. So,
yeah, I know. How do you do that? I don't even have time.
I'm tired, girl. I'm tired.
I know. You got to be.
I have about...
Because every time I turn around, you got 20. Something new coming. I'm like, wait a minute. When does she have time?
I am up in the 20s now. I can't believe it.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Some of them are short stories and anthologies, but mm-hmm. yes, I am at like 21.
Yeah. Because there were two that were in a different book and you were writing with other authors, but yeah.
Right. We did those mm-hmm. for charity, and I was like, okay. One was for NAACP, and that was mm-hmm. Love Me Always. That one
yes.
just released like last week. And then mm-hmm. we had The Glittering World that did the COVID-19 for the Navajo Indians, or Navajo
yes.
Nation, I'm sorry. So
that one's on my TBR list. So. Because I saw that and I was like, ooh, that'd be a good one.
And all the proceeds for those books go straight to those charities. So we don't get
nice.
Any money for it. So
but that's
I wanted
thing.
To do something to give back. Right. Something to give back.
Most definitely. So yes,
but
you stay busy. You stay busy. And it is definitely, you're definitely worth it. I mean, this is awesome. Because you just like, you bam them out. I'm like, does she do anything?
Like, this is my full-time gig, so I have
to
keep moving.
But you got to, you working it. You are definitely working it. I was like, ooh, I don't know if I could do that.
Girl, I'm telling you, next year it's going to be different. I can't. Because I still have
that takes discipline.
That I am. I'm locked into before the end of this year. Three more.
Wow.
And I'm trying to do five because the readers want more Tennessee. And I'm like, ooh. Oh.
Yes. I can understand that. But yeah, I can definitely understand that one. So
and
then you got the Christmas.
Coming.
Yeah. So what's the Christmas book?
The Christmas book
I think I saw that.
Secret Love.
Yes.
Mr. Grinch's Secret Love, and he's currently on pre-order. That is a part of that very Alpha Christmas series with Siren Allen and Shania Green Dowdle. They put that together, and that one will be out in November.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the Lunchtime Chronicles Season 3. I have Honey Dripper coming in October.
Oh, I love that cover.
Wait for you guys to read that one. That one is going to be so nice.
Ooh.
And then Southern Comfort is in November.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, I'm giving you a little bit of taste of whiskey again. But it's not going to have whiskey. It's going to be his brother.
I was going to say, it had to be somebody you related to. Because, Southern Comfort.
Right.
That's another drink now. So hold on. Wait.
Right, Southern Comfort is going to be Garrison because, you know, in whiskey, you try to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to see his backstory before things happen
In
whiskey.
In whiskey, so it's kind of like a prequel.
Right. Well, no, it's actually a flashback because you're kind of going to get...
Oh, okay.
You're going to see how he lived beforehand, and then you're going to see the events leading up to the next book. So
kind of. Okay. So it's a little bit of a prequel, little bit.
Kind of.
Because you're going
kind of, it's really
flashing back, but it's focused. Okay. Well, I like the cover.
Thank you. We had
gorgeous.
To pick some hot covers for lunchtime.
Yeah.
So the whole series, everybody got a hot.
Oh yeah, that. Yes. And I like those colors, so it's like that really stood out to me. I like those deep magentas and reds and, so.
Mm, that did it for me. I was like, ooh.
Yes. There you go. I was like, this has to be on the list. I need to catch up my reading. I'm so behind.
Yeah, me too. I've been so busy writing.
Trying to read. And me, I'm still trying to finish, can't even think of her name, Nefari, India's African Queen. So, and it's my first historical, so this one's taking me a little while.
Yeah, historicals will take you a minute, because you got to make sure everything is accurate in it.
Yes, and then all the research that went along with it is just,
it is.
I love it, but it's a lot. It's a lot, and I hope everybody will like it because I really wanted to get this one out this year. and have it be good and not, you know, just thrown together, because I've only done a short historical. So this will be my, I'm trying to challenge myself this year to not, to get out of my usual place. Since I see you've got like different things going on. Even Sonia got out of her different, she's like,
right,
doing the whole, yeah. I was like, now she went from shapeshifters to the mob. I mean, it's like, and it was, it seemed like an effortless move. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she can write anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy for her. I'm proud of her too, because she's just like, and exactly. And here you go. I was like, okay, I got to stretch myself now. So yeah, everybody else is stretching this out. So let me stretch myself with this historical, because this is, I mean, mine is
that
vampire shifter.
This paranormal is me stretching. Because yeah. Paranormal is not me, but I was like, let me try my hand. I got to try it again.
But it
worked. Because I enjoyed writing Goo Goo.
Yeah. And Goo Goo was, yeah, that was your first demon. I was like, wow, you sure that was your first time? Because that was really good.
It was, trust me.
See?
I thought I was going to be bald just, right now.
You
like,
never
oh.
know. So I had the, got the challenge of the fairy tale, the challenge of historical, so that I can move out of my paranormal butt. I know I want to make everything paranormal, but.
But your paranormal is good, so.
Yeah, that's my area, but I'm trying to branch out a little bit, see where I can grow. Everybody's growing and shifting. Not that I don't, you know, I don't like, because I do love my paranormal, but I just want to see what else I could do. You know, kind of play around
with
that.
You have to challenge yourself.
Because I really do read everything, not just, you know, one part or one air, so most definitely. So.
That's great.
So you are at the number one for Blind Spot. So you probably
number
are
one new
the fir- our number one new release. So seeing you, and you're the first one to do that. So again, that's another
no,
first.
No,
so that's
Simon
that's two
it.
First. Oh, Simon's got it too?
Simon got it. Uh-huh.
She did? Oh, I didn't see it. I have to look at it. Let's see. I have you guys up there. And I finally added me to the series. So, yeah. She's up there. Number one new release. All right. So, Siren Allen for his Wicked Witch. And I'm going to get her on this show. So, y'all stay tuned for that, because I'm going to get her too. So we can listen to his Wicked Witch, because I read that little the kinky villain part and I want to know more, definitely. I was like, okay, yes, she needs to come on the show, so we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. Yes, Miss Ivy Pendragon here. Uh-huh. Most definitely. So that's two. So we got two. And there's four books out. So there's his Wicked Witch, The Alpha's Howl, The Desert Flower, and Blind Spot. So we've got Blind Spot and his Wicked Witch as the number one new release. So congratulations.
Thank you.
That
we got to
awesome.
Get you and Carol Lee up
yes.
there.
Yeah, we got to get up there. I'm pushing. So we'll see what happens. So
and
thanks again for coming on.
Goldie.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So Goldilocks and the Three Werebears. That's going to be interesting, too. Because Goldie's a thief.
Ooh. I didn't
so
know
tell
that.
Us again.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's a thief. But she's not stealing food. So this is totally different. So I like the way she set that up. So
okay.
Especially the werebears. So I have a feeling they're going to be really fine. So I know Donna, because all of Donna's characters are. Yeah. Yes, most definitely. So you have your tell my listeners again what your website is so they can find your website.
Okay, it is LLoren writer.wordpress, and you can find me on Twitter, Instagram at Rebirth of Lisa. And Facebook is Author L. Loren.
Nice. All right. So you've heard it. It is the number one new release. So let's keep her going. Let's just keep. she's getting those sales in so she can stay on top. And we'll be right. I'll be right behind her.
Yep,
me and Carol
right.
are coming up. We're gonna be right behind you. So it's definitely, we'll be right behind you. So thanks again for coming on the show, and thank you all for listening and tuning in with us tonight for two great authors. And we're going to keep up the good work, Lauren. I know you will. You definitely keep up the best-selling because you are an amazing author. And
thank
I know
you.
Even as a reader, I love reading your books. So I know everyone else will love it, and most definitely. So she's at the top for a reason, because she's good and she's humble. And she does not have the ego that a lot of authors have. And that's why, you know, she's just very sweet. When I first met you, it was like, I was like, this is good. Like, this is, oh, yeah. That's why I became your champion. Just like, okay, yeah, I'm going to get her out there. Because she definitely needs to get out there. So
I
thank you. Oh, yes. You're so welcome and so deserving. And I say that just, like, really sincerely, because I've met some people who are just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you do this. And they're like
wow.
two different people. So the group I met, you know, you guys, Siren and Sonia and some of the ladies in of I Love Diverse Romance have been really, I mean, phenomenal. So definitely. So thank you all for listening, and I wish you all a good evening. And whatever you do, with blessings, peace, and love. So good night.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I've been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.